get our council to come to order for a moment. Good morning and welcome to today's Dallas City Council meeting. Let me say that Dallas is unlike any city. It's a unique gem of unparalleled cultural ambience, experiences, and vision. Our city is strengthened by the different cultures and people that live within our city. And with that in mind, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Yehuda Savin of the Dallas Kabbalah Study Group. Now, Kabbalah is the world's oldest form of spiritual wisdom. Kabbalistic teachings explain the complexities of material and non-material universe as well as the physical and metaphysical nature of humanity. In 2003, Yehuda became a teacher for the Kabbalah Center, providing counseling, instructions, and spiritual guidance in the Israeli and New York centers. A native of Israel, Yehuda spent nearly a decade researching and learning varied spiritual paths while traveling throughout the world. He came across the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yehuda helps to advance those of all backgrounds, faith, and beliefs in the study of Kabbalah, an ancient wisdom that provides practical tools for creating joy and lasting fulfillment. Thank you for joining us this morning, and I extend the best wishes to you and your family. We'll ask Yehuda if you would kindly come and open us up with a word of wisdom.
Members of the chamber and the people of the city of Dallas, first of all, I would like to thank all of you for inviting us here to do the invocation. It is really an honor. So, I'd like to start with reading a short verse from the Zohar. The Zohar is the main written text of Kabbalah that was written some few thousand years back. And the Zohar is really, if we can say, the soul of the Bible, of the Old Testament. It's explained, the Kabbalists teach, that the universe began not with an atom or a subatomic particle, but with the thought of creation, which encompassed a world in which every human being would enjoy total happiness and fulfillment and free from any form of pain, suffering, and chaos. The Zohar really, in a way, decodifies the Torah and the stories in the Torah. And obviously what we would like to have from this, from the invocation, is really to support you and help you all to make today the right decisions and the right choices for the city of Dallas. And I'll just read quickly and explain from the Zohar before we go into a quick prayer. The Zohar is written in Aramaic, so I'll read it and explain. ודאבן נטר דוד מלכה דלית אנטה עמד אמותה ושליט בי שיטרה דרוכה אחרה בגין דשיטין נשמי חסד חד יהיו רזה דחיים דללעד שיטין נשמי דינון שטין נשמי אלאין ואילן רזה דלהון דטליאן בהון חי ומכאן מלטתה רזה דמותה הוא. The Zohar explains to us here that one very important element, one very important attribute for each public servant, and I'm sure that we need to be smart and sensitive and intellectual and with charisma. The Zohar says that one very, very important ingredient for every public servant is to have unconditional love for his community, to pray for his community, and to understand that it's not really him that provides the right choices or decisions for his community. And the Zohar teaches us in this verse that we just read that when we hold on to this consciousness, we become an instrument for the Creator, for God, for us to make the right decisions, the right choices. So with that in mind, you're all invited, you have these papers and you're invited to join me. We're going to do a special Kabbalistic prayer, an entrance prayer, where we're actually going to use an ancient technology of the letters, the Aramaic letters, and the Kabbalist teaches the Aramaic letters can help awaken within us and strengthen certain attributes of consciousness as we begin today's meeting. So I'll just say there are 7 verses. I'll say them. If you'd like, you can scan these verses or repeat them. And we're all going to use the initials, the sequence at the left side of the page to awaken those particular qualities within us. So the first verse, Ana bekoach gedulat yaminecha tatir tzeruah. And the initials Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yutav, Tzadik, that you can see, awaken within us the power of unconditional love, the power of unity. Help us to elevate our consciousness beyond the limitations of the 5 senses and beyond the illusions of separation and duality, as the Kabbalists teach. In essence, we are all one and we're all connected. The second verse, Kabel Rinat Amecha Sagveinu Tahareinu Nora. We have the initials Kuf Resh Ein Sin Tet Nun. Help us to overcome the reactive nature within us. Sometimes we go on autopilot, we say things that maybe if we put a little thought into it before, we might not say that. And this initial Kuf Resh Ein Sin Tet Nun, help us to shut down this reactive nature. Help us to be proactive and to inject light into everything before we do it. The third verse, Na gibor dorshei yichudecha kevavat shomrem, and the initials Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Help us to remove negativity, to remove selfishness from within us, from any area and place that we know. Help us to remove hatred for no reason that unfortunately we know that we have. First line, Barchem Tarem Rachamei Tzidkatecha Tamid Gomlem Betet Resh Tzadik Taf Gimel. This sequence help us to strengthen within us the consciousness, the certainty that the Creator is in every detail of creation and in every situation that we go through. Helps us have the strength to overcome obstacles and to always come out victorious. The fifth verse, Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nahel Adatecha, and the initials Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nun Ein. Help us to become an instrument, a channel of the light of the Creator. Help us to speak the right words, to see the right opportunities. Help us even to be in the right place at the right time, and so on and so on. Sixth verse, Yesod, Yachid Ge'eh Le'amcha Peneh Zochrei Kedushatecha, and the initials, Yud Gimel Lamed Peizayin Kuf. And this sequence help us to awaken within us and throughout humanity the concept and the consciousness of personal responsibility. We know that many people in the world look up to you guys, look up to leaders, look up to different people to make the changes for them. But we know that a very important concept is for each and every person to take personal responsibility. True change starts within every individual. And the last verse, Shavateinu Kabel Ushma Tzakateinu Yodea Talumot, the initial Shin Kuf Vav Tzadik Yutaf, that we can see, help us to tap into and awaken within us the power of renewal and rejuvenation. And what the Kabbalists teach in regards to that is really to help us connect to a power of continuity. The Kabbalists always explain that there's no reason why there need to be an end for the joy, an end for blessing, an end for a good relationship or pause for business. And what we want is really to connect to continuity, our ability to continue, create, and inject new energies into every aspect of our life. So with this, we finished the it's called the Ana Bekoach, this ancient prayer, and really in the name of the Kabbalah Center and the students of Kabbalah here in Dallas and all over the world, I really like to wish all of you for today and in the future to really be blessed and make the right choices and the right decisions for everyone. Thank you guys very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to welcome our Dallas International students. Good morning. I can't hear you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, where is Annabelle and Sebastian? If you two would come, you could come out front here. And if you would kindly and respectfully lead us all in the Pledge of Allegiance. Back with you.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you kindly. Let's give our international students a big round of applause. Okay. Ms. Coop? All right, is Miss Wanda Smith in? Well, Miss Smith, if you would please join me at the podium. Hello, Miss Smith. This, of course, is Head Start. How you doing, Miss Smith? How are you doing? It's an honor to me to recognize an important group that has been a vital instrument in the city of Dallas for the past 20 years. And for over two decades, Head Start has emphasized the importance of early childhood education. Since its inception in 1965, the Department of Health and Human Services has provided federal funding, further progressing the goals of Head Start. Today, 4,400 infants, toddlers, and children are cared for through 40 centers, including four early childhood education partners and two delegate agencies, making Head Start of Greater Dallas one of the largest in the nation. At this time, I would like to ask Ms. Wanda Smith, CEO of Head Start Greater Dallas, of course, to join me here at the podium. And Ms. Smith, she has contributed greatly to the success of these programs. Ms. Smith's efforts has progressed the ideas and goals of Head Start of Greater Dallas. I'd like to thank you for the enormous amount of work you and the entire Head Start team that you do to ensure our youth succeed. Head Start has been such an important part of Dallas community, and it is only appropriate that I thank all of you for your hard work and dedication. I am confident that to the continued success of Head Start's future. Therefore, now I, Dwayne Carraway, on behalf of the Mayor Tom Leppert and the entire Dallas City Council, do proclaim this month, October 10th, as Head Start Awareness Month. present to you.
And to your friend at
Good morning. I'm Tammy Richards. I've had the honor of serving on the Head Start board for 6 years and as president for 3 years. And it is indeed an honor to work with Mrs. Smith and her staff. They provide such an excellent Head Start for the children of Dallas and their families. The opportunity to provide these children the Head Start they so richly deserve so they can achieve their goals and so their families can continue to grow and prosper is a mission that we all share and embrace. So thank you very much for this honor for Head Start, and thank you for allowing us to work with you to help the children.
Wonderful. Come on, man, say something, Smith.
Well, thank you. It is such a pleasure to work with the children and families of Dallas County. As Dwayne Caraway has indicated, we serve 4,403 children throughout Dallas County. And so we are just at your, just thank you for your support. And without the support of our community, Head Start would not survive. We need $8 million in non-federal support, and we often call on many of you to provide that. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith, and thank you, Head Start. Council members, if any of you would like to take pictures with us, then find Ms. Hoppo.
Yes, I have one comment. Thank you,
okay.
Chair. I had the pleasure before serving on the City Council of working with Head Start as a bilingual computer teacher for the parents, so I think they do a great job, and thank you for bringing this to our attention that today this is Head Start Month. And good to see you again, Ms. Smith, and your staff. Thank you.
All right.
Anyone else?
Thank you
all
very much.
Ms. Smith, yesterday, thank you. You know, yesterday I was a principal of the day at one of the Dallas Independent School Districts. And one thing that, especially the pre-kindergarten and kindergarten teacher said, they know when their children have gone to Head Start or some type of preschool before they get to the Dallas Independent School District. There are so much more ahead than the children that do not go to some type of preschool education. So we thank you on behalf of the future of our city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let me get, if I could ask the fire department, one of my most favorite organizations here in the city of Dallas, Chief Eddie Burns and the team. Fire department keeping us safe here in the city of Dallas. Chief, thank you for joining me. The city of Dallas has proclaimed October 2010 as Fire Prevention Month in order to promote fire safety through education and awareness. Now, by practicing in home fire escapes, checking fire detectors functioning, and planning escape routes, our ability to escape from a fire are greatly increased. I would like to recognize Dallas Fire and Rescue Chief Eddie Burns, who has made great efforts to communicate fire safety and prevention. Chief Burns has made his goal to educate Dallas residents about the dangers of fires and increase prevention behavior. In coordination with concerned citizens, as well as business and schools, service clubs, Chief Burns, and the Dallas Fire and Rescue Department has stressed easy to practice routines which can save lives, reduce injuries from fire accidents. I am confident the city of Dallas has and will continue to benefit greatly from their efforts. Therefore, I, Dwayne Caraway, Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Dallas, on behalf of our Mayor Tom Leppard and this entire Dallas City Council, do proclaim the month of October 2010 as Fire Prevention Month. So, Chief, this is presented to you, but I know we're going to hear from our other chiefs. Let me first present it to you, and then I'm going to turn the microphone over to you for further introduction.
Thank you, Mayor Carraway and Council. This month is Fire Prevention Month, and today I'm going to ask Chief Carlin, our Fire Marshal, to elaborate a little bit about what we do here in the City of Dallas.
Chief?
Good morning. We often think of fire prevention as being the responsibility of the fire department, but in fact, it's really the responsibility of every single person who's sitting in this room today. We all have family and friends. We all want them to be safe from fires. And unfortunately, in the City of Dallas, 50% of our fire fatalities are people who are 65 and older. These are our parents, our grandparents, and our neighbors. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we're all doing things to keep each other safe, which means that when you see people doing things that are, they're not paying attention or they're being careless around fire, we need to point that out to them so that they can be safe. For you boys and girls who are sitting in the audience, everything that you do, when you see people doing things that you know to be unsafe, you need to be the person who points that out to them. I would like to say that in the fire department, we've made it our mission to reduce fires and also injuries of all different kinds, and we want you to help us in that endeavor. So thank you for allowing us to come before you today, and we're looking forward to continuing to work within the city to make sure that our fire fatalities decrease and that our injuries do also.
All right. Thank you, Chief. And the Dallas Fire Department, of course, continuing the education of keeping all of our citizens here in the City of Dallas safe. So let's commend you and thank you for your presentation and your participation. All right, Ms. Coop. Ms. Coop, you up, Ms. Coop. Okay, appreciate you. Yeah. Okay. Ms. Coop.
Okay, well, we've got some terrific students here today, and the headmasters of two schools. So bonjour, estudiants. I can't hear you. Thank you. Many of you may know, you've heard me talk about the Dallas International School before. I know they're so cute. The school teaches in English and in French. Helena, one of our terrific employees, her children go to school there as well. The school teaches in English and in French, and also they choose a language. I think twice a year. I think it switches at the semester to also so they learn three languages. And they're a very unique school. I spent some time over there. I've been to the very first pep rally, and that was a lot of fun. And they do an exchange program. It's interesting. There's kind of, I guess we would call it the mother school or the head schools in France, and they have international schools all over the world. And they do an exchange program, and this week we're fortunate to have the exchange program come to Dallas, Texas, is international school, and with their kids from France, and then also the kids from our school in Dallas will be going to France. So let me just do some introductions really quickly so I can get some folks up here. The headmaster, Pierre Visseau, I hope I pronounced it right, maybe not, but he's going to tell me. If you wouldn't come up and just stand here for just a second while I read this proclamation, and if you wouldn't mind introducing the rest of the folks that have come here today, that would be very helpful, and then they could come up as well, because I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce some names today, but Pierre knows that I do that often, so he's used to it.
Thank you, Linda. Yes, we have the pleasure to have today one teacher and the headmaster of the French school, Pascal and Gilles. Gilles is there. Hello. Pascal is there. Hello. And of course, from Dallas International School, we do have the head of the primary school, Martin Delcroix. And we have the teachers, Cindy and Frank here. And we also have our director of development, Tracy, with us. And by the way, our photograph, Douglas. And that's it, I think.
That's right. And if they'll step up, I'll just go ahead and present this to all of you. So if you just come right on up here for just a second, okay? I have a proclamation. I'm practicing my French, okay?
Right.
Jason gave me a French book.
All right.
Okay. Oh, you took French in high school. Okay, so you're going to correct me. Okay, great. Okay, there's only very few words in French, so I think I'm okay. Okay, so whereas Dallas International School is the only multilingual immersion school in the Metroplex, and its mission is to educate students of all backgrounds in order to contribute to a dynamic world with its internationally renowned curriculum. Oh, yes, get the students up. Oh, this is going to be such a cute picture. Oh, okay. Put them in the front. Put them in the front. Kids in the front. Taller ones in the back. Plenty of room here. There we go. Can you see yourself on TV? Oh, there you are. You're being recorded on TV. If you look kind of up to the left of you, you can see it. And whereas 550 students from more than 50 countries pursue a rigorous curriculum in French, English, Spanish, and Mandarin, and the school is honored to have the prestigious accreditations of the Independent Schools Association of the Southwest and the French Ministry of Education, the mission, Lac Français, and the International Baccalaureate Association. Whereas its recent partnership with the University of Texas at Dallas ensures the future growth of the Dallas International School with the state-of-the-art facilities, premier academic collaboration, and the university scholarships. And whereas the Dallas International School's success helps promote Dallas on a world stage as a great city in which to live, work, invest, and learn. And whereas the Dallas International School's fifth grade students have since 2003 made increasingly successful annual trips to France, presenting our great city, state, and country, and this year is honored to partner with L'École La Fontaine in Paris. And whereas from March the 5th to the 16th, 2010, L'École La Fontaine, fifth grade teachers, students, and parents warmly welcomed and hosted our Dallas International School students in Paris with a rare official permission from the appropriate French authorities. And the fifth grade students from L'École La Fontaine will visit the United States and our city from September the 29th to October the 12th. I hope they're going to go to the state fair. And whereas on Saturday, March the 13th, the mayor of the 16th arrondissement of Paris, the Honorable Claude Gosselin, held a reception honoring our students, at which time our students presented a formal invitation under my signature, the mayor of the city of Dallas, to reciprocate at Dallas City Hall. Now, therefore, the mayor of the city of Dallas, Tom Leppard, and on behalf of the city council, do hereby officially welcome the fifth grade class from L'École La Fontaine to the United States of America, to the great state of Texas, and to the dynamic city of Dallas, and hereby proclaim December the 29th through the 12th, as well as Exchange Cultural Week. So, congratulations to all of you. We're looking forward to having lunch with you today. I'd like to present this proclamation to you and maybe have the other council members as well come up for the picture. Would anyone in your group like to say something?
Yes.
Tracy? Okay, they have a letter. Okay. Okay.
Bonjour. So I would like to extend my most sincere gratitude to all of the Dallas City Hall professionals who made such a profound welcoming gesture to our visiting friends from La Fontaine School in Paris. I would especially like to thank you, Honorable Mrs. Coop, for arranging our visit, for inviting us for lunch today, and for the stellar service by the Dallas City buses during this visit. The 2010-2011 school year marks the 8th year that the Dallas International School has participated in the 5th grade exchange trip to Paris. Since we are organizing the exchange with La Fontaine School, each year we have been grateful to the hospitality of the school and the mayor of the 16th district of Paris. The Dallas International School is thrilled to reciprocate this hospitality for the first time this year with the participation of Dallas City Hall through welcoming our French friends to the great state of Texas. During their visit, they have already seen a few sites of interest in Dallas and Texas State Capitol in Austin, and will see much more of our amazing city this week. They will also visit the Space Center in Houston and enjoy the sea in Galveston. So, honorable Madame Coop, merci pour votre soutien. Vive Dallas, vive Paris, vive notre échange franco-américain.
Yes. Well,
bonjour à tous. Bonjour à tous. Au nom de Monsieur le maire du 16e arrondissement, Monsieur Goasguen, je vais vous lire la lettre qu'il a écrite à l'intention du maire de Dallas. Monsieur le maire, c'est avec grand plaisir que nous avons reçu cette année encore les élèves de l'École internationale de Dallas à Paris, au cœur de notre 16e arrondissement.
Dear Mayor Lepert, it is with a great pleasure that we will this year again welcome to the 16th arrondissement of Paris the students of the Dallas International School.
Les échanges fructueux entre les jeunes auxquels ces visites ont donné lieu sont porteurs de grands espoirs pour l'avenir, non seulement pour le perfectionnement de la langue, mais aussi pour la création de relations durables entre les peuples, la découverte de la culture, des arts et de la civilisation de chaque pays.
The fruitful exchanges between the young adolescents these visits gave birth to are a great hope for the future, not only for the perfection of the language, but also for the creation of a long-lasting relationship between our peoples. The discovery of different cultures, the arts, and the civilization of each country.
Les relations entre les États-Unis d'Amérique et la France ont indéniablement de solides fondements. Nous le rappelons à nos élèves pendant leur cours d'histoire, si la France est fière d'avoir apporté son soutien à l'Amérique pendant votre guerre d'indépendance entre 1776 et 1783, nous n'oublierons jamais vos combats à nos côtés pendant les deux grands conflits mondiaux du XXe siècle pour la défense de la démocratie et de la liberté.
The relationship between the United States of America and France has undeniably strong foundations. We remind our students in history classes not only to be proud of the French support of your independence from 1776 to 1783, but never to forget American fight on our coast during the great conflict of the 20th century for the defense of democracy and freedom.
La visite des élèves de l'école La Fontaine nous permet de vous faire parvenir des gages de l'amitié que nous portons à votre grande nation.
The visit of the students of the La Fontaine School gives me the opportunity to send you the warm sentiments that we hold for your great nation.
En vous remerciant de votre hospitalité, la ville de Paris et plus particulièrement les habitants du 16e arrondissement sont heureux et fiers de vous adresser leurs chaleureuses salutations.
Thank you for your hospitality. The city of Paris and especially the citizens of the 16th arrondissement are proud to send their regards. Yours truthfully.
Nous vous prions de croire, Monsieur le maire, à l'assurance de nos sentiments les meilleurs. Et nous avons deux cadeaux pour vous.
He's going to have a hard time getting this. Thank you. Thank you so very much. We appreciate you. All right.
Thank you all.
And beautiful book. Ms. Hunt, you had some remarks.
I did. First of all, I wanted to ask our audiovisual person to please pan around so all the students get on TV, so everyone can wave. Very, very good. Everybody wave. Don't wave at the TV. Wave at the camera. Very good. Well done. And Ms. Coop, I was going to say thank you for bringing these wonderful students here. And also, I was going to see if you could have the headmaster and some of these other wonderfully, beautifully spoken French speakers come and read the phone book every Wednesday, if that would be possible. Thank you very much, students, for being here. We love having you here.
All right, and thank you all, and Ms. Coop, thank you so very much.
Thank you. Before we leave, you know, they know a lot of English, but maybe we should teach them to say howdy, y'all. And that's a two Texan words. So ask your professors when you get back what that means. Howdy, y'all.
All right, did you get your picture?
And the community, the district pull all this together.
Well, the Ferguson Road Initiative.
I think that which ones are from France? Are they the ones with the little lapel? The ones from France have...
I'm here.
We're in it.
You all right? Everybody here? You know, I took French in high school. Yeah, and the only one I learned that I can remember is Parlez-vous Francais. Parlez-vous Francais. All right. Thank you all so very much. Mr. Atkins, you're up next. Hold on to that way.
Now whack on that. Good morning. First, it's a great morning today and a great time to introduce a great person who do great volunteer work. And before I start, everybody probably heard of Uncle Curtis stories. And the story goes like this. I recently asked Uncle Curtis to go to New York with me. And Curtis asked me how long a drive it would be. I told him that we were flying. Uncle Curtis responded that he doesn't swim and he does not fly. I asked him why. Uncle Curtis said, "Son, I don't do anything that if you stop doing it, you would die." Well, that is a whopper for this week. And remember what Uncle Curtis, which always said, "Son, where there is a will, try and get in it." Now, by saying that, there is a will and try to get in it. And there is a great person by the name of Dr. Craig Hobart. And Craig Hobart is a person who had a will and he tried to get in it. And that's a will by his profession. Curtis Hobart is the president of the Dallas Plastic Surgery Institution, a 10-member plastic surgery group located at Park Lane and Central Expressway. In addition, Dr. Hobart is the regular international developer of pediatric cardiofacial program at Medical City Children's Hospital. After graduating from medical school, Dr. Hobart completed 7 years of surgery training at UT Southwest Central in Dallas prior to undertaking a cardiofacial surgery fellowship at New York University Medical Center. Dr. Harbaugh returned to Dallas in 1990 and began his surgery practice. In 1991, he found LEAP, a Life Enhanced Association for People, as a specialized surgery charter that traveled the world to operate on children and adults with facial and other deformities who do not have access to means to surgery reconstruction. LEAP had one full-time employee and several hundred volunteers. LEAP provides all supplies, travel costs, and personnel do not charge anything for its service. Do not charge anything for the service. Even reimburse the host hospital for the cost. LEAP had helped more than 5,000 patients from 14 different countries. LEAP became instrumental in the Haiti relief effort, being present on day four and maintaining a full-time presence for nearly 6 months. LEAP was asked to coordinate a U.S. Canada effort to send a reconstruction team to Haiti Community Hospital, one of the biggest hospitals in Port-au-Prince. LEAP coordinated 19 teams, 152 people from U.S. and Canada, who treated 1,000 patients and performed more than 400 reconstruction surgery procedures. Help prevented life and limb in the earthquake victim. Dr. Harbaugh represented LEAP and accepted the humanitarian service award presented by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons for the effort in Haiti. Dr. Harbaugh and his wife, Robin, had three grown children and two young grandchildren. Dr. Harbaugh was the team plastic surgeon for the Dallas Star. For the first 11 years in Dallas before giving that up to travel more mission trips, Dr. Harbaugh is a black belt in judo. Dwayne, he's a black belt, you know, so you got to worry about him. And three-time Mouser National Champion of judo. The reason why I brought Dr. Harbaugh here is that Haiti, when we had a presentation at Paul Quinn College and with the Clinton and the Bush Foundation, they came and we collect funds for Haiti. It has been a tragedy that what happened in Haiti, but it's also a great relief that you have someone from the United States and someone from this city who give us his time and patience and his money to do God's work. And that is the applause to that particular person. And before I just go any further, I'm going to bring in Ann Margolin to come up, because this great person is office and he is your citizen and resident in your district. And Ann, before we get started, I want to let you read the first three, 4 ads, and I'll go on from there. Okay, and Dr. Harbaugh, would you please come up and you can...
Whereas P. Craig Hobar, M.D., is the president of Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute and a 10-year member of the plastic surgery group located at Park Lane and Central Expressway, and whereas P. Craig Hobar, M.D., is the international development for the pediatric craniofacial program at Medical City Children's Hospital, Dallas, and whereas after graduating from medical school, Dr. P. Craig Hobar completed 7 years of surgical training at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas prior to undertaking a craniofacial surgery fellowship at NYU Medical Center, and
whereas in 1991 he founded LEAP, a life enhancement associated for people and a special surgery charity that traveled the world to operate on children and adults with facial and other deformities who do not have access to means of surgery reconstruction. And whereas LEAP became instrumental in the Haiti relief effort, being present for 4 days and maintained a full presence for nearly 6 months. And LEAP was asked to coordinate the U.S. and Canadian effort to send reconstruction team to Haiti Community Hospital, one of the biggest hospitals in Port-au-Prince. And whereas LEAP coordinated 19 teams, 152 people from the United States and Canada who treated over 1,000 patients and performed more than 400 reconstruction surgery plus procedure. help prevent life, preserve life and limb for the earthquake survivor of Haiti. And whereas Dr. P. Craig Hovind, Representative Lee, accepted this humanitarian service award presented by the American Society of Anesthesia Plastic Surgeon for the effort in Haiti. Now, therefore, I, Janelle, act on behalf of Dallas City Council and Maritone level of the city that I hereby extend a special recognition to P. Craig Hovind, M.D. on this day. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the great leaders of the great city of Dallas for this incredible recognition, and I'm just the front man for hundreds and hundreds of volunteers and hundreds of Dallas citizens who support us and allow us to go on these mission trips. And Haiti was a very special challenge, and it was absolutely the most devastating thing you can imagine, but it was also one of the most uplifting things you can imagine, because celebrating our multicultural character here in Dallas, Haiti was a world war. It's hard to think of one country that wasn't represented, and we were all united fighting together for one cause, and the people of Haiti deserve our ongoing support, because they're just beginning, even though it's out of the main headlines of the news. So there's over 100 Haitians living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and two parents of the Dallas International School. We have a Haitian girl living in our house, 23-year-old, who lost an arm and a leg in the earthquake. She's the only one out of over 1,000 that we brought back to Dallas, because she would have made it down there. And she's doing great. And two of the parents just heard about her and came over and visited her and loved on her and spoke French to her. And one of the others is providing the psychiatric counseling she needs. So God bless the city of Dallas, and God bless everybody here. And also, Carly, will you come up and take a picture, because it's kind of boy, your district, Jerry, and Shepard, and Dave, and Angel. Will y'all please come up?
All right, thank you. Thank you, Ms. Atkins. If I could, for just a moment, let me pause and recognize, and we may hear from a little later, our DA is with us. So to the students, our district attorney is with us, District Attorney Craig Watkins. I'd like to welcome you in, Ms. Watkins. And Ms. Madrona, Ms. Hassel, if I could turn to you for just a moment. Ms. Hassel?
I just want to announce that this week, the 4th through the 8th, is Graffiti Awareness and Prevention Week at DISD schools. So all of our school children are learning why not to do graffiti. And Gina is visiting several of the Dallas schools this month and next month. So there's Gina, the graffiti buster.
Okay, wonderful. I'm going to start to put mine on. Yes, Ms. Madrona?
Ms. Hassel, I know that Gina, I think they picked the perfect mascot, because she can get really low or really high. Doesn't matter how high that graffiti is out, Gina's going to abate it.
All right. Does she speak French? Ms. Hassel, does she speak French?
Oui.
All right. Okay. All right, at this time, if we can get Ms. Madrona, Deputy Mayor Madrona.
Thank you very much, Mayor. And, Jan Langbein, will you join me? And Ms. Davis as well, if you will join me, I'd really appreciate it. Good morning, colleagues, and Gina, thank you for being here, and all our students and everything else today. We are celebrating National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, a very important topic, and you know, you may not think that it may impact your family, but I know that you must know someone. If you weren't affected directly by domestic violence, you know someone, you have a relative, you have a neighbor, have a friend that has experienced domestic violence. Council members, we also have the domestic violence reports by district that have been reported, and we will share that with you as well. Today we have several of our domestic violence task force members with us. Today accepting the proclamation is Jan Langbein, and I think all of you know her. She's the executive director of the Genesis, for Genesis. She's been the executive director for a while. Last year, she completed a presidential appointment as a senior policy advisor to the director of the United States Department of Justice. And she, as a senior policy advisor, served as a chief strategist for that office. So we are lucky to have her back in Dallas. And she has been a strong voice and advocate of domestic violence. The proclamation reads, whereas domestic violence and abuse is a crime that impacts men, women, and children in Dallas every day, yet the problem is often overlooked, excused, or denied. And whereas a home is somewhere you should feel safe, but unfortunately, last year, the city of Dallas received nearly 14,000 domestic disturbance calls. And
whereas abuse can take on many shapes and forms, and it has even come from those we love and trust. Maybe you have been the victim of abuse, or you know someone, work with someone, even live next door to someone who's being abused right now at this moment.
Whereas domestic abuse often escalates from threats and verbal abuse to physical violence and even murder, leaving emotional and psychological scars. And whereas no one deserves this kind of pain, and the first step to breaking is recognizing that your situation is abusive and redirecting ourselves to breaking the cycle.
And whereas the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month acknowledges that thousands of people who are victims of violence each and every year, and hundreds have lost their lives to domestic violence. And whereas this month we promote safety and healthy relationships by supporting service organizations in their effort for freedom from domestic violence. And whereas on behalf of the City of Dallas, we extend our deepest appreciation to the shelters, counselors, healthcare profession, and other committed individuals and organizations for their dedication to assist the victims of domestic violence.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Now, therefore, I, Pauline Medrano, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem of the City, and on behalf of the entire City Council, hereby proclaim October 2010 as Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Dallas, Texas, and ask that each of us recommit ourselves to ending violence within our homes, communities, and country.
Jen, we would like to present this proclamation, and if you would say a few words.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mayor Pro Tem and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and City Council members, it's with great pride that many members of the Dallas domestic violence community join me in accepting this proclamation this morning declaring October as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We particularly thank Ms. Medrano for her vision and her leadership as chair of the Dallas City Domestic Violence Task Force. We are very fortunate in the City of Dallas to have such a strong domestic violence response. Shelters like Genesis Women's Shelter and the Family Place, Mosaic Family Services, and the Salvation Army stand ready in the City of Dallas 24 hours a day to receive victims of domestic violence. Our city attorney's office has advocates. We have specialized dockets that hear only domestic violence cases. Within our district attorney's office, we have a specialized prosecutorial unit that holds accountable abusers and provides safety for victims. And our wonderful Dallas Police Department has a specialized investigative unit doing the same. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not enough. We know that domestic violence is pervasive, it is unforgivable, and it is sometimes deadly. Studies tell us that only between 5% and 6% of victims of between 5% and 6% of women who are killed by an intimate partner ever sought advice from an advocate of any kind. So what we know is that it's not enough for us to leave this on the steps of City Hall or the shelters or the police department. What we know we have to do is take up this cause, and this proclamation does just that. This proclamation calls all of the citizens of Dallas to roll up our sleeves and continue to fight this fight that destroys our homes, that destroys our lives, that destroys the very soul of our great city. It is on behalf of the hundreds of thousands of victims who live in fear right now. It is on behalf of the hundreds of victims who will sleep safely tonight at shelters like Genesis and the Family Place, Salvation Army, and Mosaic in our city, and those yet to come, that we thank you. Thank you for helping us create a community that realizes that peace on earth begins at home. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And Jan, if most of you heard a little chime, will you do it? As we were speaking, it chimed every 15 seconds, and that is an indication of how many times the chime rang while we were up here. Every 15 seconds, someone is abused. So if we will take that thought, and with the wonderful words that Jan imparted with us today, that we know someone and we definitely have an opportunity to do something about it. So thank you very much. And on behalf of the members of the Domestic Violence Task Force, members that are here, if you will please stand, I'd appreciate it. District Attorney Watkins, would you like to come up and say a few words?
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure. Good afternoon. This is a very important issue that we have been addressing at the District Attorney's Office. However, when it gets to the point where we're pursuing a prosecution, sometimes it's too late. And so what we need to focus on is prevention. It would be great at some point that we will never see a domestic violence case come to the DA's office. Unfortunately, we do. And because of the hard work of these individuals, we have the resources to adequately pursue those prosecutions. But going forward, we should not only focus on adequate prosecution, but also on prevention. And so thanks for awarding this month as Domestic Violence Month, and we will continue to do what we do at the DA's office and also continue to advocate for prevention. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Medrano and Ms. Davis and to our DA. Ms. Medrano?
I'm sorry.
Where were you? You were saying you're going to take a picture. Okay, you're going to take a picture. Y'all tighten up in there around that DA now.
And let me just so state, he is a proud member of Kappa Alpha Psi Incorporated. That is the only fraternity in the world.
Hello.
I said fraternity.
Mayor.
Well, I mean, you know, I said the only fraternity. Well, no, the rest are clubs and organizations. Ms. Hossel?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to personally thank the DA for coming down. I know you have a busy schedule, and especially also the task force that's here. You guys are at the forefront of prevention for domestic abuse, and I want to thank you for that. I know we have a large population that, you know, is we never hear from, and so thank you for advocating for them, and thank you again, DA Watkins.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Madrona, and thank you, Ms. Davis. Thank you, Mr. Watkins. Thank you so very much. Madam Secretary?
Good morning, everybody. We're going to begin with your morning speakers this morning. We'll begin with Joyce Lewis, followed by Jean B. High. We'll first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker this morning is Joyce Lewis. Please state your name and address for the record. You may go ahead and step up to the podium. Yes, ma'am.
Right here. Thank God. My name is Joyce Lewis, and to the mayor and council members, I am one of the big family victims of the West Dallas lead contamination, and I had a family member who had a spouse that worked for the R&S company, which the company that caused the lead contamination, and at the age of 36, she passed away, and none of her family members have been compensated. And there were other members of my family, my parents. And I had another sister, which died of, she was an asthmatic patient. And even myself, I'm a diabetic patient. I have suffering with arthritis and high blood pressure. And in 2008, I was diagnosed with breast cancer also, and we have not received any type of compensation, and I feel that we are tired. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Jean B. High.
Good morning to the City Council, to Mayor Pro Tem. We're glad to be here today. I'm Jean High. I live at 2815 Twyman Street, Dallas, Texas. I was grown up in West Dallas and moved later on after I got married. And I want to say that the West Dallas RSR smelter has contaminated our families. And we have families that have died, and we have some families that's been handicapped and they're crippled from birth. And some that, after he was 2 years old, in my family, my nephew became crippled when he was two. And he has suffered all these years. And he said, they said he wasn't going to live until he was 6 years old. But he lived and he's still living. And I want to say today that God is in the business of helping us through what we're going through. And I want to say that contamination of the families in West Dallas that have suffered pain and suffering, and we are trying to get compensated for the years that we've gone through.
we are supporting Mr. Fagan, who came on board to help us, that we may recover what belonged to us. And through the Clean Association, we want to stay to help us with our public health and our wealth from the lead. The issue that we have here today in West Dallas, we want to say that my husband, he worked for the city of Dallas for years, and he was also one of the employees for the city of Dallas that covered up the lead where they hauled it off to. And I want to say he brought home all people, the men that worked at the RSR and for the city of Dallas that was around this situation, brought this home to their families. And that's the cause that we are handicapped, suffering, and all the illness that we have in our family today. And we want to say that we hope that God would be in the plan that we would get some help with what we've been going through for all these years. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Your next speaker is Alice Clark. Alice Clark, not present. Rhonda Chu. Rhonda Chu, not present. Patrick Hernandez.
Good morning, members of the council. My name is Patrick Hernandez, and I just want to start off by thanking all of you for all the hard work that you've been putting in for the citizens of the city of Dallas. My wife and I just moved here in February. I just got off of active duty from a mobilization in Fort Lewis. And I just wanted to affirm one of the statistics that was given a couple weeks back in a presentation about the quality of life, about families moving into Dallas and, you know, with a child or two and then moving out when that child becomes old enough to attend school. And that's the same kind of mentality that my wife and I had. And I just was going to ask, now that we're armed with the information that this is true, and I've just affirmed it, you know, what can we do and what can I do to help to kind of change that mentality? Because there wasn't anything specific about it that made us think that way. It was just a mentality that, you know, living in the city was fun while you're younger, and once you had kids, you know, it was time to go. So just want to let you know that I'm here to, you know, contribute my thoughts on that. And secondly, as a veteran, I'd like to ask the council a question. I know that the federal legislation was just passed for companies who receive you know, federal contracts to hire veterans. And I was wondering if the city council had any kind of initiative that was going to be helping veterans, because the unemployment rate for veterans right now, for those who have served in both Iraq and Afghanistan since 2001, is above 10%. And I think veterans have a lot of great qualities that they can contribute to the city. And I just want to challenge the city council to maybe come up with some kind of initiative to help veterans get back to work. One other question. I know this is not to ruffle any kind of feathers or anything like that, but one of the things we learn in the military is to not ask our people to do one thing that we haven't done. And so I just want to ask the city council about DART. How many of you all use public transportation? And so I think it would be a really good thing for you all to do as leaders, for the citizens to see you maybe, you know, once or twice a month, catch public transportation, so that way, you know, when you're asking the citizens of Dallas to do it, they can, you can say you've done it too. And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Next speaker is Jay Robertson. Not present. Judy Robertson. Not present. Tatiana Androsu.
Good morning, council members and Mayor Pro Tem. I'm Tatiana Androsoff. I live at 328 West Colorado Boulevard in Dallas, Texas. And I'm speaking here on behalf of Thanksgiving. Why should Dallas recognize that it is the city of Thanksgiving and gratitude? In 1961, four businessmen, Joe Newhoff, Julius Sepp, John Simmons, and Peter Stewart, saw that a growing Dallas needed, like other great centers of civilization, a gathering place of value for its citizens to reach out beyond themselves. Because of the city's diversity, they focused on Thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks for the gift of life, each other, all that makes us humans what we are. The idea led to a place, Thanksgiving Square. At the same time, the founders turned to other Dallasites, including scholars, clergy, distinguished leaders, and even ordinary citizens to learn more about Thanksgiving. In 1969, the results were put together in a booklet entitled The Spirit of Thanksgiving. This testimony of the people found that Thanksgiving was universal, harmonious, uniting, sacred to the heritage of every person. A quote from an unnamed high school student in that booklet sums it up best. This is the place that will represent the spirit of the people of Dallas. As the square was being built, its leaders put together a book of all presidential proclamations of Thanksgiving and presented it to President Ford. As a result, the center in Dallas became a creative symbol, a catalyst, and was asked each year to provide ideas for the annual Presidential Thanksgiving Proclamation, a singular honor for the city. In 1977, Thanksgiving Square opened its doors to the community and the world. In 1985, with the generosity of the people of Dallas, Thanksgiving Square presented a mosaic version of Norman Rockwell's Golden Rule to the United Nations on the organization's 40th anniversary. The mosaic has since become a worldwide symbol of the way people should treat each other. In 1997, through the efforts of the people of Dallas, the United Nations proclaimed the year 2000, the International Year of Thanksgiving to Dallas. In 2007, a celebration reminded the people of Dallas, you know, seven people of different faiths and cultures have come together to celebrate Thanksgiving in Dallas every year. How right it is for the 50th anniversary of the birth of a Dallas idea in 1961 for the city of Dallas to officially become the city of Thanksgiving and gratitude. How right it would be for a version of Norman Rockwell's Golden Rule to grace our city hall so that all who enter can be reminded of the way we should treat each other. My fellow Dallasites, the torch of liberty can shine from New York Harbor. But it is the bells of Thanksgiving in Dallas and the grace of the Golden Rule that invoke the hearts of the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Madam Secretary.
The next speaker, Juanita Wallace. Juanita Wallace is not present. We continue now with Charlie Fryer. Charlie Fryer, not present. Your next speaker, Otis Fagan. Okay. I apologize. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Charlie Pfeiffer. I lived in the area where the contamination worked with me and my seven children. My kids was exposed to it. I have some now that is ill. I had one that had a tumor over his kidney at a very young age. And as for me now, I have respiratory infections, very serious high blood pressure. And all my children attended the Amelia Earhart School, the Boys Club of West Dallas, across from the Lead Company. And I'm here to present my case, and I hope that we can get compensated for all of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Otis Fagan.
Good morning, council members and Mayor Pro Tem. My name is Otis Fagan. I live at 2247 Scotland Drive, Dallas, Texas. This morning is not the first time you have looked on my face, and I am reaching a point where I am learning who some of you all are, unhappily so. But what we are here to tell you about the West Dallas Lead is 11,000 of the citizens of West Dallas have died from the exposure to the lead. They were neatly covered, they were neatly put away, packaged in such a manner that you appear not to know a word about it. relocating individuals who die in West Dallas from their residence to the hospital took the stigma of lead contamination out of the coroner's report. This has been going on for 50 years. Now, we presented you all a year ago with a copy of the blood test results, or what the court ordered the blood test to be performed by the City of Dallas, paid for by RSARA, showing that all the people of West Dallas had been contaminated. These people have suffered greatly. Dying was a quick means for relief. The suffering from cancer and other means prolonged the agony from being exposed to the lead was much greater. Domestic violence doesn't compare with the amount of death that has occurred from the exposure to lead. Thanksgiving, the city been pronounced and designated itself as a goodwill city, but you have showed poor results in that area when it comes down to the people of West Dallas. Oh, you had responsibilities designated by the court that you agreed to, that if you had the means to pay these people or compensate them or provide public health and welfare, you would have done so. Well, you do. I waited 15 years while the trust fund was being put together, mandated by federal law that the regulators provide a trust fund to pay claims. That trust fund has reached a point where it's $3 billion now. We made contact with the president and he appointed someone to be the paymaster for the people of West Dallas. Finally, Elizabeth Warren was designated on the 17th of September by the president to work with Timothy Geithner to pay these people. But in the meantime, over the years, the city has been such a poor partner in doing what the court required of it, even down to home invasion and brutality that it has shown against the citizens of West Dallas, the very stigma that West Dallas-led people are coming before the city council mandates that there be an army put before them to maintain very strict behavior on the part of these individuals, whereas lead creates behavior problems to start with.
Okay.
But then you are the part of the problem for their behavior because you created the lead in their environment. I did have so much more, but I want to ask you all to do all of that.
And we're going to get to it, though, Ms. Fagan. But let me wrap you up now
okay. So
we can get to the other speaker. And then we're going to have something to say. Okay. No, you can't defer time. No, you can't defer. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Your final speaker this morning is Charles Goodrum.
Okay. All right. With that, let me first say this. One, I wanted to allow time this morning to the citizens that are referencing the lead, an opportunity to be heard once again. I want to also say that the city, the county, the state, and our federal government from Washington all have some hands into this. I'm going to also ask our city attorney, Tom Perkins, to once again to begin to give some type of direction. I think what I'm hearing and what I've been hearing is that you all need to be communicated with, and there needs to be some results, there needs to be some action, but there needs to be a plan of action and a direction. What you're seeing here at the city of Dallas should also fall on the ears of the state of Texas and the United States government. And you're coming to us, and we're just a part of it. I'm going to ask that our city attorney once again get with you, so that a direction and some directions can be given so that your path can be navigated so that hopefully you can get the answers and the results that you're looking for. Granted, it's here and we're hearing it, but are we the only source that should be at the table to help solve your problem. So I'm going to ask Tom Perkins to get with you. And Tom, if you would, begin to do that and to keep us abreast as we move forward. I'm going to yield now to Councilman Atkins, if he would, and allow him an opportunity to speak. Councilman Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor Carraway. We know this was an ongoing situation, it's an ongoing problem, and ongoing legal to legal, and I just like Tom Perkins just be on redundant to you, Mr. Carraway, to get with them and whatever, because there is a worth of lawsuit, and legally that we should hold our comment to ourselves because we really don't know the particular of the lawsuit. So, Mr. Perkins, will you get with them, and I ask you, when you finish talking to them, get back to all the council members and tell us what is the result of a lawsuit so we know what our position that we can take and what we can say and what we cannot say. Again, thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Allen.
You know, I agree also that it's time to time to put this to sleep. It's been going on for a long time. From what I see in the documents provided, the United States government has taken a position. The state of Texas has taken a position on this. I agree. It is time to say one way or the other and try to put this thing to sleep.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Madam Secretary, is that it?
Yes, you're for your morning speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right, thank you. And I'm sorry, what's your name?
Chu.
It was Mr. Chu. All right, Ms. Chu, come on. Madam Secretary, let's let Ms. Chu come on.
Rhonda Chu, please state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Thank you.
My name is Rhonda Chu. And I reside at 3119 Alaska. May, June of 2008, I talked with one of your contractors here about the streets and the problem that we was having trying to go from Marcellus to Lancaster down Keith Avenue, which is a 35-mile zone, but you got cars coming up the 30 freeway going 45 and 55 miles an hour. And I talked with one of your contractors down here. I cannot pronounce his name, but I'm going to spell it. S-A-M-I-R, and his last name is Goel, G-O-E-L. When I talked to him back in 2007, he told me that he was going to make a contract to try to put these ramps in place to where we don't have to dodge cars going to the shopping center in Walgreens. He told me that he was going to make this contract, and I know from my heart that everybody at this council table had to sign this contract to make this project work for the people that are in overseas and they veterans and people in wheelchairs bound. And that was 2 years ago.
Mm.
2 weeks ago, I went down Lancaster to go to Walgreens, and I saw the pavements being torn up. He's doing exactly what he told me. He was a man of his word, and he kept his word. He is building those ramps so that we can stay on one side of the sidewalk and not dibble and dabble in and out of traffic. And he's actually doing it. I came down here to tell him from my heart, I thank him. I thank all the city council members, Mayor Leffert, Dwayne Carraway. Thank you all for doing this for the Oak Cliff area so we can feel safe and not terrorized by going to the store and getting our medications from Walgreens and our wheelchairs and walkers or whatever we might be on, walking canes. But the love I felt from this man's heart through this whole city council, that he was sincere, and he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do. And that's why I was here at 8 o'clock this morning to give you the blessings and thanks of a great job and this man, of a great man, because he kept his word. He made me want to live another 57 years.
All right.
I feel.
Well, what district do you stay in?
In
District 4.
Yeah, the boy Caraway, you know I do.
There you go, Mom.
Yes, sir.
I just kidding.
We love you.
All right.
All the handicaps.
And we appreciate the good stories and to let folks know that our staff, they do take things sincere all over the city of Dallas. So thank you so very much, Mr. Chief. The city does function correctly. All right. Is that it, Madam Secretary?
For your speakers, yes, sir.
All right. Let me, Council, let me say this, what we're going to do. We're going to get some approval of these minutes in just a moment, but we're going to try to break for lunch. We're not going to try to break. We're going to have, we have no choice but to break at about 11:30. We're going to try to get as much in as possible. I think, Ms. Coop, you have a lunch upstairs with the students at noon. We have the North Dallas Chamber lunching over at the Anatole. We're going to listen to the first briefing. It's my intent. If we can get this first briefing tucked away, then we'll immediately go into executive session. We have some things that we're going to be discussing in executive session. And if we get out of executive session, depending on how long it would take, then we may conclude early. But that's depending on the first briefing that we're going to do. So with that, let me first, item number one, do you have to read it?
No.
Okay. Yes. Let me get approval of the minutes.
For the September 15th?
For September 15th. Been moved? Second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right, item number two. Madam Secretary.
Item number two is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. Do you have for your consideration for individual appointments? Ernesto Lopez is nominated by Councilmember Newman to the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission. Nominated by Councilmember Newman is Gerald Coffey to the Board of Adjustment alternate members.
Move approval. Ms. Newman, move approval. Second. Moved and second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Madam Secretary and Ms.
Our first briefing is on. Under, and we're going to assume that you've all read, and if you have any questions, we'll be ready to answer them. But if you'll flip to page 24, that's the decision points we need some feedback on you from. And if you have any other questions about the briefing, it's pretty much our usual calendar moving ahead. So if you'll put it on, I think it's 24.
Right.
But we need some direction, and Jean can talk you through these. Yeah, go ahead.
So the retreat date has been finalized as the 19th, so we do not need to cancel any committee meetings on the 18th, and I believe the Trinity Committee has already canceled the meeting for the 19th, so that's fine. Traditionally, the week of the mayoral and city council election, the meetings have been canceled that week, so I just want to confirm whether or not you want to have meetings that week or not. There is a typo in this third bullet. We are looking for direction on whether or not you want to cancel the November 21st committee meetings, which would be economic development, public safety, and housing.
That's the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Monday before
correct.
Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And then also recommending moving that Trinity committee meeting to that prior Tuesday, November the 15th. So those are the four items need some direction on.
All right, Ms. Davis and Ms. Newman. I'm sorry.
That's one that you...
Oh, yeah. Oh. And then Ms. Davis, Ms. Newman.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a couple of concerns. During that time, that is the council mayoratory election.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this. On page two, I see here that we're talking about budget workshops. Mm-hmm. Mary, it's going to be really important because we're all going to be working on our campaign that you get at least to me, as much information on changes on the budget. For example, the arts and culture. There are some things that, you know, that I have concerns with that was not clearly addressed this year. Also, the Chamber of Commerce. Those dollars have been taken away from the Chamber of Commerce on program dollars. Okay, so I need to make sure that some things that you get them to us early because we're going to be working on our campaign as well. We got the redistricting that's going to start in January. And so we can make sure on the budget workshop. Now, will this be a budget workshop with full council or how
yes.
will that work?
Yes, there will be full council budget workshops, and we'll get you as much information as we can and have.
Okay. Then.
And a lot of that work will be done after your elections.
Okay, okay. But for then, when will the budget workshop start?
The first one's in January, I believe.
Okay, okay. And that will be just a overall...
Pretty high level, yeah.
Okay, and it's, so that'll be in January. And so we'll get, are you going to do a calendar before then, before of all the budget workshops?
They're on your calendar as we know them now, and we will have to put some, may have to put some more in there. We just kind of see as we go along.
Okay. And the other thing is, now, is the May 9th through the May 9th and 11th, though, is that the election date?
That is the week of the elections. That's Monday and Wednesday when you have the election. I believe it's on Saturday. And
right.
In the past, council has elected not to have the committee meetings and the council meetings that week. And we're just asking, and I think that's worked well.
Okay.
But I want to know ahead of time if that's what y'all want to do.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, you and I and Jill have had some conversations offline about scheduling the Trinity River Corridor Project Committee meetings. I may ask us to amend this. This current plan here is just one meeting a month. By the time we come back and adopt this, I may come back and ask you to go back to the two or not.
Okay.
And we obviously don't want to have a meeting unless we have substantive issues for the committees. On the other hand, we don't want to disrupt people's time.
The other thing is, and y'all can always call special meetings, and so
yeah.
whatever you need to do, it'll be on next Wednesday's agenda, and you can amend from the floor.
No problem. No problem.
So, thank you. So am I hearing any other speakers first? Okay. Well, if we don't have any speakers, I'm not going to bring up anything myself.
All right. So we're going to assume that what we're proposing up there is okay, and we'll move forward.
I don't know if we need to finish the conversation, you and Jill and I, as far as meeting agenda.
Well, we'll put it on as it is now, and you can amend if you need to.
That'd be fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
All right. That concludes that. Thank you, Ms. Tip. Tom? Okay. It is now 10:36. October 6, 2010, Dallas City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551-071 of the Texas Open Meeting Act to receive the advice from and consultants with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda. Do this one. Under Section 551-076 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to consider City Hall security initiatives, Hill versus City of Dallas, Learn Theory versus City of Dallas, and legal issues regarding residential and commercial rates, riders of infrastructure replacement for natural gas services proposed to the charge of Atmos Energy Corporation. All right, Beverly Davis versus City of Dallas. At this time, we'll stand adjourned, and we are now into executive session.
Shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if assigned at arms and so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. You are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please stop speaking when the timer turns to zero. Your first speaker is Ozumba Lunks. Not present. Trina Trish, state your name and address for the record, please.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. I appreciate this opportunity to speak. The mayor in his absence, Mayor Pro Tem Carraway and Medrano, council members and everyone under the sound of my voice. I'm going to speak about this article. U.S. poverty rate hits 15-year high. What the article says is what poor Americans, like all other Americans, need are jobs, not more government benefits. It also states that the number of working men fell since 2007. I'll wait until those who are rude in the back that are speaking while I'm speaking calm down just a little bit.
Now your time is ticking, Mr.
That's okay.
Okay.
I teach school.
We've got to quieten it down a little bit back here. Just a little bit. Go ahead, Ms. Trish.
Also, it says the number of working men fell since 2007 by 2.5 million, while the number of working women fell by 1.3 million, the report said. This is the United States poverty level. It has nothing to do with Dallas City. What am I saying? People are out of work for real. People are hungry for real. And while we honor people, guess what? Those same people may be losing their jobs. Those same people might be the same people that's looking for work tomorrow. That's what's real. I went to a restaurant, and again, I sell street sign, my only form of income. I went to a restaurant and paid $2.59, signed the check myself with my bank card for 10 fries. That's prices going up for less. Who will afford that? After a while, people will stop buying. That means businesses will start laying off. I have two checking accounts, two saving accounts. Mr. Schwab is in town. He'll be doing my portfolio. I've sent business, economic development or business things for poor people. I've emailed all of you. I emailed the Dallas Chamber of Commerce, and I've also emailed the Black Chamber of Commerce, ways you can stimulate the economy and help poor people get put to work. I also have some vouchers here that I purchased myself. Again, when I sell my street sign, if I have to purchase vouchers for personal reasons, why are they denying me vouchers with government funds that they're supposed to give me to pursue economic gain? That's my right as a United States citizen. I expect to be compensated for that. That's what they're supposed to do. I don't care if the color is yellow and I'm wearing pink. People are starving. You help me get a job by any means necessary. So policemen, so firemen, so civil service workers can not only keep their job, but so that they can go on vacation. How about that? They won't be laughing and won't enjoy the opportunities to take pictures when they're at home and can't get a job like me. Thank you. And have a blessed day.
Thank you. Madam Secretary?
Your next speaker is Leslie Allen Davis, not present. Marvin Crenshaw, not present. Evelyn Daniel, not present. Wayne Wooten, not present. That concludes your speakers.
11:43, we are now adjourned.
For the day?
For the day. Go home.